Get excited for another episode of Take These Broken Wings as we dive deep into motivation and discipline. Sit back, relax, and enjoy.
It kind of allows you to have weak moments, because a lot of the times when you have weak moments, the other person is having a strong moment and they can kick you in the butt. I know that for me and you especially, I think number one, this is why we are good competition partners. But when I'm having a bad day or an off week, you're on your game. Welcome back to another episode of Take These Broken Wings. This is Brittany, and I'm super excited about this episode today. We're going to be talking about motivation and discipline. And I have a very special guest with me. Her name is Rebecca Barron, and she's a speech therapist. And Rebecca, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, thank you, Brittany. I'm kind of very excited to be on your podcast, because I feel like it wasn't that long ago that we were just sitting in my apartment drinking wine and saying, hey, we should start a podcast. And boom, we did it. Look at that motivation.
Yes, motivation. Oh, wait. So is it motivation or is it discipline that we're working at now?
I think right now it's motivation.
Score. Okay. So let's kind of get down to the nitty-gritty, as they say. Could that be any more ridiculous? But motivation and discipline. So tell me a little bit about what motivation means to you.
I think that motivation is kind of the driving force that gets you going, and then discipline is how you stay consistent.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Give an example of it.
Yeah. So like, for instance, I have always been very active and played sports. And then after college, I would work out really hard for a few months, and then I would stop. Then I'd work out hard for a few months, and then I would stop. And I just couldn't keep that motivation for long periods of time. And so I decided that I was going to make myself work out every single day for 365 days so that it would just become a habit, and I had that discipline. So even if I wasn't motivated, I was still going to do it.
Okay, and so how did that carry over, like, into your the next year of your life? How did that kind of transform your past experience of starting and stopping?
I realized that for me personally, and I think for a lot of people, you need consistency.
Okay. So it kind of gave you that initial drive to start something, and then afterwards you kind of continued on with it.
I think we have an idea that people who are successful are constantly motivated, and that's definitely not the case.
True.
So actually, and I know I've kind of touched on this, but I came across a quote that I really love. I don't actually know who said it. I tried to look it up, but I couldn't find it, and I originally saw it on Pinterest.
Where all things are found.
But it says, you won't always be motivated, so you have to learn to be disciplined. And that really stuck in my head.
Yeah, definitely. I think that for me, I kind of have the same experience. When I started this CrossFit journey, and man, people I feel like are going to get tired of me talking about CrossFit on this podcast, but
that's how we met. So I feel like,
right?
Tune out now if you don't want to hear that.
Yeah, sorry, friends. It's going to be CrossFit from here on out. But I think what started me, with CrossFit was the motivation to do something. So I was motivated to do CrossFit because I had set like small goals for myself. So we signed up for a competition called Festivus. And that motivated me to kind of train for that. And I was also training for a half marathon during that time. So I kind of had a double motivator of, I need to be able to do these things. And then Festivus ended and we were both kind of on a high of competition. And so we signed up for Superfit like crazy people. Bless our baby souls. Didn't know what we were getting into, but we signed up for something that then motivated us through the holidays. Let's be for real. Like, holidays are such a hard time to be motivated, especially like in the health world.
See what you did having Superfit in December.
Right. But yeah, so I was motivated to do that. And then January came around and we had nothing to sign up for, but yet we were both still in the gym and we were both still pushing towards bettering ourselves. And so I think that the motivation was in the beginning. And then as we got into this routine of going forward, that's when our discipline kicked in.
Right. Yeah, I totally agree. especially because after I did that year, I was so nervous to take a day off because I was afraid that I was just going to fall back into that routine of just, well, I took yesterday off, I'll just, you know, take today off too.
Right.
But I, at that point, had that discipline instilled in me that I was able to go right back.
Yep.
To going every day.
Yep. So why do you think people have such a hard time being motivated?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think either they don't have a goal that they're really motivated for. Actually, I think it's one of three things. It's either that. I think it's they don't know how to begin.
Okay.
Or they don't really have the support system in place to help them be motivated.
Definitely, yeah. 100%. I totally agree with that. I think that the support system is probably one of the strongest things. Although I feel like you can do things without the support system. I will say, though, that, like, we'll go back to CrossFit reference. part of the reason that I showed up every day is because I had that group of people.
If you'd listened to a recent podcast on here, there's one called Finding Your Person. And it's that idea of finding a group of people that is going to support you and push you forward. And these people may not be the same group of people for everything in your life.
But you still have to have somebody to support you. And so I think that that definitely has a lot to do with, like, that initial motivation.
Yeah, I think that's very underrated too, because, I mean, I'm super stubborn. I don't know if
Amen.
You
yeah, I mean, that's why we're friends.
I'm very stubborn, and I'm also very independent. And for a long time, I said, you know, I don't need to work out with anybody. I don't need to study with anybody. Whatever it was, I'll do it on my own. And once I started giving in and working with people, I was like, wow, this takes a lot of the pressure off of you.
It definitely does. Yeah. I think that also, it kind of allows you to have weak moments, because a lot of the times when you have weak moments, the other person is having a strong moment and they can kick you in the butt. I know that for me and you especially, I think, number one, this is why we are good competition partners. But when I'm having a bad day or an off week, you're on your game. And so it's either you're kicking me in my butt and saying, just get your shit together and get out of bed, or you are being my motivator. So I see you doing something and I'm like, well, first of all, I have to keep up with her because she's my competition partner. So if she gets ahead of me, then I'm screwed. But second of all, I want to be like you. And I don't know if it's reverse or not,
it's for
but
sure reverse.
But that definitely, yeah.
There's a reason I make you text me in the morning to get out of bed and get in the gym.
It's not because you love me. Oh my goodness. But I do. Yeah, I definitely think that support system. And then the second thing you said was,
they don't know how to begin.
Yes.
That's so hard.
Is it because of the, let's go back to another podcast, fear of failure?
Look at that. Threads running all through this podcast. Yeah, you are. It's scary.
Right?
It's scary no matter what your goal is, whether it's school or work or the gym or
Whatever.
So, and if you don't have a good plan and a good idea of how to start, then that motivation drains pretty quickly.
It does. Yeah, it really does. So I think that both of us are good examples of, like, that fear. We just kind of have to, I broke it out into smaller steps. Like, it was one of those things where I came that one day. And then, like, the first day I came and I was like, okay, the next week I texted the owner of the box and said, hey, is this a good class to come to? Because I'm personally, okay, I'm totally thinking 5:15 a.m. class, man, they're super disciplined and, like, on top of it. And they're going to be, like, super crazy serious people. And then I walk in, y'all are goofing off and, like, half awake, my type of people. But so I made the plan of, okay, I'm going to do 2 or 3 days a week. And then I was training for the half, and I was kind of trying to put that in between. And so I broke it down to small steps. I made this plan of, I'm going to do this for this long. And then I accomplished that. And so I went on to the next thing of, okay, let's sign up for a competition. And that kind of motivated me to do more.
But that's good. You should set those, you know, goals for yourself, because that helps the motivation.
Right, right. Well, it also makes it more attainable. If you can set those small goals and you meet that small goal, then you are more motivated to do the next task in that goal. And then the idea of failing at something is not so overwhelming because you've already accomplished these tiny things.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
That's a good point. There is one thing I want to talk about, and I guess this ties into a little bit of not being motivated maybe because you don't have the right goal in mind or a goal that's not, doesn't seem attainable to you.
Okay.
And also not knowing how to begin. But I read this book. I'm going to give it a shout out because I love it. It's called You Are a Badass, How to Stop Doubting Your Greatness and Start Living an Awesome Life. And I know it's a pretty popular book. It's by Jen Sincero. I hope I said her name correctly. But I love this book. And one thing that I got from it was there was a chapter where it said, you know, write down these lies that you tell yourself and then change them to truths. And it's really easy when you're reading one of these, you know, quote-unquote self-help books that you read and you're like, well, I'm not going to do that. You know, I get the point of the exercise, but I'm not going to do it. And I did that the first time I read it. I said, I don't need to write it down. And then the next time I said, you know what? I am going to write it down because once it's on paper, it's out of my head and it's real.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know,
it's a lot more real.
It's tangible. Yeah.
And I think that's a good exercise because you don't realize how many silly lies you tell yourself until you start putting them on paper.
Yeah.
And that has a big influence on your motivation to do things.
So, like, could you give an example of some of how it, or a lie that has maybe impeded your motivation?
Yeah, I should have kept that paper when I moved. One of the lies, this isn't one of the ones that I had written down, but I know it's a lie that I had told myself initially was, sorry, everybody, I'm about to go back to CrossFit, but, you know, whenever I was...
Welcome to the CrossFit podcast. This is Brittany and Rebecca.
Oh, sorry, listeners. But, you know, when I was working out and I would always joke and I'd be like, yeah, maybe I'll try CrossFit. Ugh, yeah, right. Because I was telling myself this lie that all those people were so much better than I was. Mm-hmm. And there was no way I was going to fit into that group. And that was really just a lie that I was telling myself to get me out of...
Having to try it. Yes.
And once somebody said to me, hey, why don't you actually try it? And I did.
Yeah.
And it's awesome.
Yeah.
But that was definitely a lie that I was using to get out of something, and I wholeheartedly believed it.
Really?
I didn't think it was a lie until I really confronted myself about it.
Yeah. I think that I've talked about her in pretty much every podcast that I've done, but Rachel Hollis is like a true motivator for me. Let's put it that way. But she says something along the lines of telling yourself the lie. She'll give an example like you telling yourself you're not a writer. Well, if you sit down and you type words on a Word document, you're a writer. So telling yourself that lie that I'm not a writer or I'm not an author is just holding you back. It's not, that's not actually the truth. It's just like this block that you've put up for anything that you're trying to attain or to achieve. And so that can carry across anything, you know, that you're not, you are not good at CrossFit, or that you're not a good girlfriend, or you're not a good wife, or whatever.
It's scary too.
Yeah.
Like, it's not fun writing down those things that you think.
Well, no, because you have to actually hold yourself accountable.
Right. Yeah.
For these lies that you're telling yourself.
Which is why actually writing it down is so different from just thinking it.
Yeah. Well, because when you think something, you think a lot of thoughts during the day, and then you let them go out the other ear. But when you write them down, it kind of makes them concrete, and you realize, like, well, crap, I actually have to, like, deal with this, you know, crazy thought that I have. Psychology is awesome, friends. All right, so the lies and the truths. So these lies maybe are like inconveniences in your life, or?
So going back a little bit to not being motivated because maybe it's not really the right goal. Mm-hmm. I think that if it's in your head and you want it, then it probably is the right goal. Mm-hmm. You just haven't found the right way to be motivated.
Okay.
And I think that happens for a lot of reasons. And honestly, I feel like one of the biggest ones is just like everyday life.
Yes.
Like, okay. All those stupid inconveniences that we use as excuses mm-hmm. to not attain our goals and to not be motivated.
Yeah. So real life happens. And then like, at what point do you keep pushing forward?
Right.
Okay. Okay. So, when we're talking about motivation, so we'll kind of go back to like where we first started, where we're talking about motivation and we are motivated for so long. And then after that, it kind of becomes like you become disciplined in what you're doing.
Right.
But I think what knocks a lot of people off before they get to that discipline is the inconveniences in life. So, you know, you get sick or your schedule changes at work or, you know, for whatever reason, your life is derailed from the norm that it's going. And so that those inconveniences kind of demotivate you, for lack of a better word. And so that definitely pushes you away from what you're working towards. And so let's just stick with working out. When you have those inconveniences, then and you kind of haven't gotten to that discipline part of your life, then you become unmotivated. But you had said something to me earlier about having something from the You Are a Badass book that kind of helps with that. What were you thinking?
Yeah, this is I'm like shouting out this book hard, but I love it.
Don't worry, I've shouted out like two other ones, so it's fine.
One strategy that I pulled from the book that I really like, I know I said before how I'm stubborn and independent.
Never!
I'm surprised every time. another thing that people always say is you have to change the way that you think about things and the way you let thoughts into your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And for the longest time, I was like, that's ridiculous. I'm going to think what I'm going to think.
Right.
And so, reading this book, I decided I was really going to try it. I was really going to dedicate myself to this. And I began thinking about things differently. And oh my gosh, people were right.
Imagine that.
So, one instance, one thing that I've really carried over is whenever something inconveniences me or, you know, whatever it is, work or, you know, working out, mm-hmm. friendships, relationships, whatever. Whenever I am frustrated or inconvenienced, instead of immediately jumping to that, like, anger, I instead think to myself, okay, this is good because, and then I make myself say why it is good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that sounds silly probably, but having a positive thought to focus on in mm-hmm. those moments of frustration, especially at work, has made a huge difference.
Yes.
And that totally keeps you motivated
to keep going at something. Right. yeah that kind of goes back to, I feel like I was in high school and watching Oprah, let's be for real, way back in the day. But there was something, somebody said something about how, you know, those little inconveniences are actually like protection from something. So this person who was on Oprah was using the example of like being stuck in traffic.
Shout out Oprah.
Right. Hey girl. But being stuck in traffic and how our initial reaction is to be angry or be frustrated with being late to work. But like, what if you being stuck in traffic was a protection for you getting into a wreck, or protection mm-hmm. for you for not being, you know, hurt by someone or whatever it may be? Like, what if those little inconveniences are just like, I don't know, your guardian angel being like, hold up, wait 5 minutes.
That's so funny that you say that, actually, that you give that exact example, because literally last week I was stuck in traffic on my way home from work for an hour and a half,
yeah,
about, And like, at first I was like, okay, whatever, it'll clear up. And then when it didn't and I felt myself starting to get frustrated, I said, okay, how can I use this time?
Yeah.
And I'm a religious person, so I looked in my backseat, I had my Bible there, and I said, okay, clearly this is time that I need to read.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to make the best of what you got.
Right, right. So I think that definitely, I know we got sidetracked, but let's be for real. I think that anything like that, you know, feeds into our motivation to do something. So just realizing that those inconveniences in life, we can use those to keep our motivation. We don't have to let them derail us from whatever we're working towards.
And sometimes you can use them to work towards other goals.
Very true. Yeah.
Like, one of my goals is to be a better Christian. So if I'm going to be inconvenienced, then let me make it work to my advantage.
Right, right.
So I'm going to flip this situation.
So it pushes other motivators. Mm-hmm. It helps you stay motivated in other aspects of your life. That's a really good, I mean.
That was a good example. Props.
Props to you too, girl, for pulling on that. I think that something else that I've heard in the past with just kind of those inconveniences is once you've gotten past that initial need for motivation to do something and you've gotten into the kind of routine and become disciplined at whatever you're working at, whether it's writing, whether it's running, whether it's doing CrossFit, whether it's reading for an hour in the evening, whether it's not yelling at your kids in the afternoon or whatever it may be, that when you do, because it is life. Like, we are going to be derailed. We're going to be inconvenienced. And we're probably going to get mad at some point and not be able to make it positive. Like, that's just, we're humans. But once we get past that derailment or that, like, stalled out point, we're going to revert back to our highest level of training. So what that means is, and guys, again, welcome to CrossFit Podcast. Prime example. I was out over spring break, sick as a dog with whatever hell of a flu was out there. So I was out for an entire week. I promise you that 2 years ago, if I would have been in the gym for 2 months straight and then not gone for a week, I would not have gone back, like, whatever. So that was my highest level of training, was I did not, like, if I was out for something and then I took a couple days off, my highest level of training was, I'm not going to go back. I'm just going to sit on the couch. I'm just going to do this because that's what my routine was. That's what, you know, I was used to doing. But now I'm used to getting up at 5:15, 4:30 in the morning to get to the gym. That's my norm. And so when I am out for a week, like I was over spring break, yes, I may only get there 3 days out of the five during the week, but I'm still getting there. I'm still making that effort. And then that pushes me to go 4 days and then the next week, 5 days. So I've got that motivation back, but my highest level of training, that discipline, was initially there and I was able to kind of restart.
So are you saying that motivation leads to discipline leads to your highest level of training?
That's exactly what I'm saying, Rebecca.
Oh, I love flowcharts.
Oh, I think a speech therapist and occupational therapist would love a flowchart. So I think that, you know, there's this kind of, I don't know, continuum that you become motivated for something. You set small goals for yourself to keep that motivation. So your things that are attainable. So you're meeting these small goals and you do it for a specific amount of time. Mine was, I think, 6 months is where I really made it a routine. And that's when you become disciplined. And then that discipline becomes that highest level of training, that thing that you're going to revert back to when something derails you and becomes an inconvenience for you or you whatever and knocks you off your path. You're able to go back to that discipline. So you don't have to start over again. You have that routine already set in place.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I know you said you were out with the flu for a week.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of going back to how I was afraid to just miss a day.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to be out for like 4 weeks because of an injury.
Mm-hmm.
And then I immediately just jumped right back into going.
Right.
You know, 4 days a week, whatever. But I realized when I had to take that time off, how ingrained that discipline really is in you.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just wanted to go. I wanted to be there. And I think part of that is when you're doing something that you love and you are motivated and have decided to do, you naturally gravitate towards people with similar goals.
Right, right. So it's important, or be surrounded by people who kind of have the same thinking, and that surrounding yourself with positive and with the people who remind you to keep going or whatever is kind of what helps you push you towards back to the discipline side of yourself. So they can be your outside motivators to push you back towards your discipline.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, are you okay?
Did I just break your
table? No, that falls out.
Okay. I just broke her table, y'all. So what do you think people should take away from this? What are the top takeaways?
I think the first thing is, if you have a goal, if you know what you want to achieve, you need to make it real. And what I mean by that is you need to write it down. You need to tell people. You need to have some sort of accountability to hold you to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you do that, that'll boost your motivation and you can start working towards it.
Okay. Yeah.
And I think like the big thing, and I know I said this in the beginning of the podcast, but honestly, you have to remember that there are days where you're not going to want to work towards it. And there
Definitely.
Are days where you're not going to want to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you have to be disciplined.
Yeah.
Because there are days where I'm like, I don't want to do this at all.
Right.
But I'm going to go.
Right.
I'm going to work towards something.
Right. Yeah. I think in the beginning, the people you surround yourself with are your discipline. They're the people who are going to get you there.
That's so good.
You don't have the, I agree with you that you need to have that discipline, but I don't think we are the discipline, like ourselves in the beginning. I think we are the motivation, like whatever goal we have is the motivation. But I think if we are talking about the fact that part of what makes this whole thing work is the fact that we're surrounding ourselves with the people who have the same mindset and the same goal in mind, they are probably already disciplined in whatever this area is. They're the experts.
Right. They're the discipline until you can.
Right. So that. They'll be the discipline. You have these goals to be motivated towards, and that's what's going to push you until you get this routine and this discipline in place. And then that will be in place when you get derailed and then you revert back to your highest level training.
You can't be afraid to fall back on those people either.
Yeah, no. No, you have to trust that. I think trusting like your intuition and your ability to know good people is really important.
Yeah.
And to realize that you know, even on days where they're like, maybe they're not positive about it, maybe it's get your shit together and show up, it's not a bad thing. It's they're trying to figure out a way to connect with you to say, you can't give up on yourself. I'm not going to let you. So I may be mean, but, you know, we're going to do this. I think a lot of coaches have that. Shout out to coaches. But yeah, I think that, yeah, I think other people can be your discipline in the beginning. For
Good
sure.
Point.
Yeah. Yeah. Dude, that was some insight.
That's deep.
Deep insight.
Deep knowledge.
Man.
Right.
Just
You're
throw
welcome.
All the knowledge in there, Rebecca. Well, thank you so much for coming and hanging out with me and drinking some wine and eating some sour straws because, guys, you can't see us, but we're in our pajamas. And we're really excited just to share anything that we can with you. And I think we should do this more often. How about?
I agree. If you'll have me back and if your listeners will have me back, I will talk all day long.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
That's speech therapy for you.
Well, thanks so much for listening, guys, and we will talk to you later.
I hope you all enjoyed this episode of Take These Broken Wings. I just wanted to give a shout out to a couple businesses in the Roanoke, Virginia area. Roanoke Valley CrossFit is located at 6525 Commonwealth Drive in Roanoke. And they are an amazing group of people. And I hope that you can come join us one time when you're in the area to work out. And then next, Pivot Physical Therapy, which is located at 2033 Colonial Avenue Southwest in the Tower Shopping Center. Go see these caring and thorough physical therapists for all your PT needs. Thanks again for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.